And welcome to Coffee with Decoder, episode 69. Such fun we've been having for nearly 2 years with Coffee with Decoder. Thanks for dialing in. We appreciate you and whoever introduced you to this free conference call that comes up every other Monday. I do want to mention that if you're sending us a question, which please do, let us know what first how to contact you. So we won't use your name unless that's okay with you. So we do have some anonymous questions today, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. And if your question is about coding or compliance or whatever, mention the code set if it's about coding. So is it PCS or is it ICD-10-CM or is it CPT or some other code set? And what kind of provider? So is this an acute hospital, an inpatient rehab? Is it a critical access? Are you working for a physician or some other type of provider? That all of those things might be very important to getting the answer to the question that you're sending. So, hi, Heather.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
I'm glad that you're standing in for Paula today, and I can't wait to send you some questions. This first one is an anonymous question, and like I mentioned, we're happy to have anonymous questions. And we're also going to mug somebody today. I know that's funny if this is your first time to dial in. We have commissioned a specially designed coffee mug, tea mug, with Coffee with Decoder on it. And so by us sending a free one out, we call that a mugging. Everyone who submits a question that's used on our episode today is in the drawing. Sadly, if it's anonymous, I can't put your name in there because it's anonymous. But we'll go on forward and find out what we're going to do today. This first question is anonymous, so the person does not go into the drawing. But and you'll know why it's anonymous as soon as I read you the question, okay? What do I do if I know that my provider is coding incorrectly? Heather?
Okay, yep. So, okay, so in a situation like that, what we recommend is that you follow the chain of command to bring the issue to light. So go to your compliance officer if you don't feel comfortable going to your supervisor or your provider. And you should have a compliance or ethics hotline where you can report those issues and remain anonymous. And most of the time, those hotlines are run by outside organizations. So the best advice we have is just follow the chain of command.
Thank you. That's simple and direct, and we can all do that. This next question is from our friend Linda. She's a revenue warrior, and, of course, those of you who are not revenue warriors, it will be opening up soon, usually about once a year, but a special program for camaraderie, for helping one another out in a closed environment. That's really helpful. So Linda works for an inpatient rehab, and here's what she says. A question was sent to CMS for guidance for probable, expected, likely, possible, questionable diagnoses in the inpatient rehab setting. So I'm going to tell you what they said, but first, I've always understood that we could not use those diagnoses. They weren't permitted. Can you assist with this directive they gave versus what I was always taught? I've kind of looked for a regulation, but I haven't been able to locate one. So here's what they answered. If the diagnosis documented is qualified as probable, suspected, likely, possible, questionable, or still to be ruled out, code the condition as if it was established. The condition may be coded in item 24, comorbid conditions of the IRF PI. If the documentation is unclear, we suggest querying the physician to clarify whether the patient is being treated for the diagnosis. And so I know that would be confusing because we've all been told not to do that. So, Heather?
Yep, that's exactly right. That is a confusing statement. So, Linda, thank you so much for your question, and we really want to get to the bottom of this one, too. So if you wouldn't mind emailing us information on where you found that question, we would like to investigate it a little more and report that back to our listeners as much as we can. So the directive you're speaking to, not to report uncertain or unconfirmed conditions in the IRF setting, actually comes directly from the ICD-10-CM guidelines. Now, there is also a directive in the ICD-10-CM guidelines that does speak to how you would report unconfirmed diagnosis, but that directive does not apply to an IRF setting or inpatient rehab hospital. They are excluded from that. The guideline can actually be found in ICD-10 official guidelines for coding and reporting in Section 1 for reporting principal diagnoses and in Section 3 for reporting additional diagnoses. And this guideline has not changed in many, many years. And what I'm about to read to you is the language that was effective as of October 1st, 2018, which goes through September of this year. And it says that if the diagnosis documented at the time of discharge is qualified as probable, suspected, likely, questionable, possible, or still to be ruled out, or other terms indicating uncertainty, code the condition as if it existed as it was established. The basis for these guidelines are the diagnostic workup arrangements for further workup or observation and initial therapeutic approaches that correspond most closely with the established diagnosis. Now, there is a note following directly under that guideline that says that this guideline is applicable only to inpatient admissions to short-term, acute, long-term, and psychiatric hospitals. Again, so the terms inpatient rehabilitation hospital or for any other language that would refer to a rehabilitation hospital is not mentioned in that note. So they are considered excluded from that specific guideline. Again, if you can send the information about that source, we can investigate it a little bit further and maybe try to clear up as much confusion as we can.
Thank you. Okay, so I've got another one. This one is also anonymous, and it mentions a dermatologist, which you talked about a little earlier. Can a dermatologist bill Medicare for a pathology service performed by another entity? For example, my practice pays the pathology service and then raises the fee to bill Medicare.
Okay, so no. Medicare actually calls that a pass-through billing, and they don't accept it for the scenario that you stated. They will allow the practice to purchase only the technical component and bill for it, but there has to be no markup on that service. In this case, the path service would be billed on two separate claims, one with the 26 modifier for the professional service and another with the TC modifier for the technical component, and either the lab or the provider could bill the technical component there.
Thank you. Wow. I really love it when you weigh in on these questions because you make everything so clear. Thank you very much. And you know what? It's time for a mugging. And if you were listening, you'll know only one person did not call themselves anonymous today. So congratulations, Linda. I'm going to reach out to you and find out where to mail your mug. Do send us some more questions. Our next episode is August the 12th, episode 70. Looking so much forward to hearing from you and seeing you here on that. Join us again soon.